Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and friends, we're glad that you're with us today. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or a personal issue, don't hesitate, friends. Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and Canada, by the way. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Great passage today, Romans 8:28. I know many of us are familiar with it, and yes, we quote it, and boy, it's a promise that just brings comfort to our hearts and our souls as we go through the trials and tribulations of life. Yeah. And Paul writes this, and it's Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. So here we have this marvelous promise, and it's a promise that applies to all of life, that whatever situation that we find ourselves in, whatever trial or tribulation that we are walking through or trying to walk through, this promise is for us. It is for those who know Jesus, those who love Jesus. And God gives a promise saying he's going to work all things together for good. Yeah. Now, that gives us a fresh perspective, a good perspective, a godly perspective on the things that we go through in life. Oftentimes, we just see it from a human perspective. We just see it through our eyes, and we don't lift our eyes up to God and ask him to give us his perspective on things. But when we do, this promise really becomes that source of comfort, that source of peace, that source of hope for each and every one of us. Now, Paul really understood this in experience. These weren't just words. Oftentimes, you know, we come across a verse like that, and oh, we love what it says, and we may print it out and put it in a frame and hang it on a wall and be reminded of this promise. But that's all it is to us. But this is true life. This is real experience. This is what God does for us, just based on his promise to us. Paul, like I said, understood it. I mean, he spent much time in prison. In the book of Philippians, he says this, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Well, what had happened to Paul? Well, Paul had been imprisoned. Well, that's not a good situation. That's not a good circumstance. No. That's not something that you long for. Yet God gave a promise that he's going to cause all things to work together for good. So how did God use Paul's imprisonment to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he goes on to say, "So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So how did this situation that Paul found himself in, being imprisoned, how was God working it together for good? For the advancement of the gospel, and to instill boldness and confidence in other believers so that they could speak the word of God without fear. We see an Old Testament example of this as well, Bob, back in the book of Genesis. There's the story of Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and Joseph was the most favored son. Jacob gave him a beautiful coat. His brothers despised him. He had this dream that all of his brothers were going to bow down to him. He had another dream that not only his brothers, but his mom and dad were going to bow to him as well. And that just didn't go over so well with the brothers. And they despised Joseph, and they were plotting to kill him. And they decided, instead of killing him, that they would sell him into slavery. And a bunch of Ishmaelites came by, and they were going down to Egypt. And they sold Joseph to these Ishmaelites for 20 silver coins. Mm. And they took Joseph down to Egypt and gave him to Potiphar, and he became a slave to Potiphar. Now, that's not a good situation either. That's not something that you want to experience in life, to be sold into slavery, to be hated and despised so much by your own family that they would do such a thing. But that's exactly what they did to Joseph. Well, God knew what was going to be happening. He raised Joseph up. He gave him favor in the sight of Pharaoh and the other leaders there in Egypt. And soon he became second in command, overseeing all the agriculture in that nation. And he was a planner, and he was an organizer, and he planned for the future, and he stored grain in case a famine might come. And sure enough, a famine came along. And that meant his family could die of starvation. So what did he do? He arranged for them to come to Egypt. He planted them in a little settlement called Goshen, and there they survived the famine. Now, at the end of the book of Genesis, Jacob dies, and they go to Israel to bury him. And then they come back to Egypt, and the brothers are fearful that because Jacob has died, then Joseph might step up and treat them very harshly and to pay them back for selling him into slavery. And Joseph said this marvelous thing, and this is somebody knowing that God is working all things together for good. And this is what he said: "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive." So this very thing that they meant for evil, this very thing that they meant to bring harm to their brother, God used for their own salvation. God used to save their very lives. That's God's perspective, and that's the promise that all of us have as believers in Christ. Whatever circumstances you are going through right now, they may be difficult. They may be just excruciating as far as your emotions are concerned and your fear of the future and those sort of things. Well, maybe step back and think of it and say, maybe God has me in this situation right now for the good of others, for the benefit of others. God has promised that he's going to work it together for good. So I'm going to trust him. I'm going to let my life be anchored to that promise. And I'm going to wait and watch expectantly, seeing how God is going to use this for the good, just as he promised. That's the love of Christ. That's God's just care, abundant care for each and every one of us, all contained in this beautiful promise: God will cause all things to work together for your good.
Wow, what a promise, Bob. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. And what a great way to get this edition of Basic Gospel underway with that encouragement. So again, thank you, my friend. 844-322-2742. We have live calls on the board right now. And so, Mary Jo and Craig, you hold on to the lines. We'll get to you in just a moment on this edition of Basic Gospel. But friends, as we move ever closer to the day when Basic Gospel and the Andrew Farley Ministry unite under one banner, the banner of the Grace Message, will we continue to need your support to close the year and the books without outstanding bills. And when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel, we have something new and exciting to share with you to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel. It's an audio download of the messages by Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley from the recent United Bible Conference. The series includes a celebration message by Bob as he takes a look back over the years and forward to the end of this year. And Andrew lays out an exciting, well-thought-out, and proactive plan for the future of the United Ministries. And we want you to share in the excitement. So when you make your gift to Basic Gospel, we encourage you to do that at basicgospel.net, and to be sure to download your United MP3 audio message message series, you're going to be blessed by it. So donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad you're with us today. Bob?
Let's go to our phone lines, and let's go out to Lubbock, Texas, and talk to Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Bob. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question. You know, as we go through life and we, you know, day to day as Christians, we, you know, we live in the fact that we're new creations, but we still live in a flesh body. And it's sometimes it just gets overwhelming with, you know, because we still make stupid mistakes. We still do stupid things. We still, you know, make willful decisions to sin. And what I'm wondering is how on a day to day basis do we get to a point where we can just relax? You know, it's hard for me to even kind of sit down and relax because I feel guilty about the sin, and I feel guilty if I don't feel guilty about the sin. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Absolutely.
Slippery slope.
Yeah, I think we start learning to relax when we figure out that it's not up to us to live the Christian life. And what I mean by that is this. Oftentimes, we try to control those fleshly desires. One, we don't want them to be a part of our lives. And so when they show up, when we have these internal temptations, and that's what fleshly desires are, it kind of knocks us for a loop there. It's like, why am I still experiencing these fleshly desires? And then we try to control them. We try to do something to get rid of those fleshly desires. And as we're trying to get rid of those fleshly desires, then we find ourselves giving in to those fleshly desires. And then we start feeling guilty. And then we promise God, hey, we're going to do better. We're going to try harder. We're going to get rid of them tomorrow. Well, that's just a hamster wheel. I mean, you're just running and running and running and getting absolutely nowhere. So you have to come to the point and realize that the goal of the Christian life isn't to stop sinning. The goal of the Christian life is to start trusting. That's what the Christian life is all about. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in this body of flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we start to concentrate on trusting Jesus, simply walking by faith in Jesus, and that's going to start by resting in his finished work, resting in the fact that all your sins are forgiven, resting in the fact that he died in your place, freeing you from the power and the penalty of sin. So you rest in the finished work of Jesus, and then you start trusting in his resurrected life. And here's what happens as you start trusting. That's your way of life. As you start trusting, you're going to find that you're not gratifying the desires of the flesh. You're not even thinking about those. So that's when you experience real victory in the Christian life. So the admonition from the writer of Hebrews, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, is something that applies to us today, something that we need to be cognizant of and say, Lord, that's all I want to do. I just want to keep my eyes on you. I don't want to keep my eyes on the desires of the flesh. I don't want to keep my eyes on the sins I've been committing. I simply want to keep my eyes on you. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit.
I got you. So as far as what does that look like for, I mean, daily, it's just, you just wake up and say, Lord, I'm yours today and I'm yours forever. And today I will walk in your life and not mine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a totally different prayer than probably what you've been praying. I would imagine. I know for me years ago, I was struggling like crazy. And, every day it seemed like the guilt was just piling on higher and higher and higher. And my shame and the disappointment that I had in myself, those things were huge. But I kept trying. I kept saying, Lord, I'm going to be your guy. And it was a struggle. I mean, just an absolute struggle, until the point I got to, and I said, I just can't do this anymore. I can't live this way. I just keep on sinning, so I guess that's just my lot in life. So I'm going to go just do that, and hopefully I can find some answers at some point in the future. Well, that's not a way to live. And so I just kind of lost my way and came to a point and said, Lord, I know you're the answer. I've never doubted that. I know there's something wrong with me as far as my understanding of how the Christian life is supposed to be lived. And I am all ears, and I am open to being taught by your Spirit what the truth is. And at that time, I started learning what the truth was, that first, God made me alive with Christ, that he forgave all my sins, that he took all of that was against me, all that condemned me, and he hung it on the cross. He nailed it to the cross, so there was no condemnation for me. And that's where it began for me. And then I started to learn how to trust the risen Christ to do his thing in and through me. And that became really a life of rest, resting in Jesus at all points.
Sounds like simple gospel, simply grace.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that's where you begin. You start realizing that I've died to the old way. I've died to things like do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Those things don't work. I've died to that, and I have been raised to walk in the newness of life. So I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. So that's your prayer. Lord, I want to keep my eyes on you today. I want to keep my eyes on the fact that you took away my sins. I want to keep my eyes on the glorious truth that you have made me righteous, as a gift. I want to keep my eyes on the wonder of the fact that you have made me holy and blameless in your sight, and even more so, that every step I take, you take with me. You take that same step with me because you are alive, living inside of me. And as you begin to focus on him and those marvelous truths, you're going to lose interest in the desires of the flesh and lose interest in trying to control those things. Why? Because you're going to realize, well, wait a minute. I'm not gratifying the desires of the flesh anymore because of the beauty of Christ's life being lived out through me.
I see.
Does that make sense? Let me do this, Craig. I write all about this in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I think you will identify with a lot of the stories that I write in there. And I just want to send it to you as our compliments of saying thanks for calling in today, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Hey, you hang on, Craig. And then once you get it and read through a little bit of it, call us back, okay?
I'll do that.
All right. Craig. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Craig.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Bob.
Hey there. Been missing you lately.
Yeah, here I am. Listen, why should we not make vows? V-O-W-S.
Well, like making vows to God or that sort of thing? Or
yes.
Yeah, because we don't really have the power to bring them about necessarily, and that's what Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So that's it gets down to, you know, do you have the ability to carry out a particular vow or oath that you make? And like I made all kinds of vows to God that tomorrow I'm going to do better. Tomorrow I'm going to be your guy. Tomorrow I'm not going to give in to sin. And I found out real quickly that I didn't have the power to carry that out. Every day, at the end of the day, I would look back and say, I failed. I didn't keep my promise. And why? Because I didn't have the power to do it. So he's simply saying, let what you say be simply yes or no in Christ Jesus. He's the promise keeper. He's the one that we can trust. So let's keep our eyes focused on him.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Well, sort of. I mean, years ago, I guess it's not nice to swear, but I swore up and down that I would go bicycling across the nation on my bike by myself. And my friends talked me out of it. They said, you'll be killed. And so I struggle with that at times. And
well, that's something that you wanted to do, and that's kind of different than making a vow to God or something along those lines. If you know that was something in your past that you wanted to do, and it just you listened to some friends, and so you didn't step out on that, and just leave it there. You don't have to beat yourself up over something like that. You know what I mean? I mean, that's in the past. You can't go back and try to say, hey, I want to do that all over again. I want to redo. So you just kind of leave it in the past. And if there's an opportunity, something that you desire, something that you want to do today, just step out and do it. And don't let others try to detract you from it. I mean, maybe listen to them or something and hear what they have to say, but don't get sidetracked from something that you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, I messed up my back mountain biking, so it sort of had its own way with me. And went out the first day on my mountain bike and mess my back up. So
yeah, well, Mary Jo, I'm sorry about that. I know we've all that's kind of the limitations of our humanity. Sometimes we just sometimes we get hurt, and that just happens to us, but God is going to work all that together for good, so trust him.
Yeah,
well, let's go to Dallas real quickly and talk to Fred. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, how's it going? So I got a question, and I'm just trying to see what you think about if I'm thinking about this correctly, but I'm trying to understand about what Paul says when he says I too speak in tongues and probably more than you do. And I think that he's talking about basically declaring Jesus as ruler and king over all creation, that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And I take that as that's what he means by that because of when he says...
that's exactly... That's exactly what he would be saying. But when he says he's speaking in tongues more than all, that as he went out on his missionary journeys, he was probably equipped or empowered to speak in tongues that were foreign to him, but native to the hearer. And when he spoke,
and that's how I think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
I just was wondering about so the people
Fred, let me stop you right there. We're almost out of time, but I want to do this. I did a whole message on this this past Sunday, and I want to send that to you. You hang on, okay?
Yeah. Well, friends, if you have remaining questions about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, give us a call at 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we put it there to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. So again, use that number, 844-322-2742. Well, that does it for today's edition, friends. Now, for everyone at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for a Thursday edition when Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley will grace the airwaves, and I hope you'll be here to hear it. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.